Now, I'd like to share with you a little bit of my own thoughts about Christmas. You know, it seems like each year Christmas is being moved up a little more, a little more. I believe this year I heard Christmas songs before Thanksgiving ever got here on the radio. This was the first year that I remember that instead of on the Friday after Thanksgiving, that's when the Christmas sales began. This time, it was on Thanksgiving Day. We want to get up, and maybe it's because of the economy. We're trying to get some money flowing back into the economy. But it'd be one thing if the whole desire was, I'd like to be able to get Jesus out to the world. But instead, it's a commercialization. I would need to try to get some more days to be able to get your money. But thinking about for me, I want to be able to keep it in perspective myself. I don't want to get it caught up in the way the world is doing it. I want to be able to remember Christ. So as we've been singing the songs tonight, Silent Night, Holy Night, All is calm, all is bright. I think back to looking at the manger scenes. All children that I remember, that I know of, memories about them starts at birth. If there's any information given about them, their birth date is written down. That's what's remembered. But with Jesus, it was so different. And it is so hard for me to be able to comprehend that. Because even as a child and growing up, to me I see Mary, the mother of Jesus. She gives birth to him, and that's where his life begins. At 12 years old, we hear about him going into the temple, staying behind there, and then him preaching his messages, going around doing his good from maybe age 30 to 33, and then he died. And if that's what was on a tombstone, it would be from this date to this date, and there would be 33 years of life. But I would like for us tonight to think about something, because it's really hard. It's almost like thinking about eternity. It's hard to grasp the thought that Jesus was there at creation of the world. It was not that he started out as a little baby. There was no history behind that before that. And he lived 33 years and died. There is a song that I'd like to read to you that expresses someone looking at this thought. They expressed it this way. There was glory all around him. Angels worshiped at his feet. They sang to him, holy, holy, and he reigned in majesty. This was before he became a baby in a manger. It says, then the Father spoke in sadness. My creation has been lost. Jesus said, I will redeem them. I will go and pay the cost. Then it says he left it all to come to Calvary. Well, first of all, he left it all to come to Bethlehem as a baby. Now, what, I don't know what went through his mind. We see the verses says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You know how much my human nature is that I'd like for everybody to like me? I don't want to be thought bad of. I want to do good for people and I want them to appreciate it. It says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he didn't sin. This baby born in the manger had quite a history before that time ever started. And it's hard for me to comprehend that. It says he left it all to come to Calvary. He left it all to set us free. He walked away from heaven's splendor. He left it all to come to me. And then we can go back in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You know, we would hear ministers talking about, let's go back in the Old Testament and let's see the prophecies of Jesus coming. You know what? Some of those prophecies weren't too pretty. They told about the bad part that was going to happen to Jesus. I'd like for us to think about it here. Isaiah 53, this is the picture of who Jesus was going to be. Third verse, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Seventh verse says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I don't know how many years before Jesus came that this prophecy was given to Isaiah. Let's say if it was 1,000 years before he came. Where was Jesus then? He was there when the prophecy was given. He knew back there, this is what's going to happen to me. In the second verse, it says, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, God that created, and Jesus was there with him, the creation of all people, and he had a choice of how he wanted to create Jesus. He could have had him to be a perfect specimen of an individual, one that everybody would go after. You know how now they're talking about supermodels, they're talking about people that are perfect in every way, and how we'd like to have children come along after them because we want to make a great race. God could have done this with Jesus. But instead, he says he hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, only outward form. And what kind of gets me tonight, I'd like to just share it with you, is the thought that he knew this from the beginning. Most babies, and we have this sometimes where we see a child that is real, real young, and they are abused and maybe killed, and we think, you know what? He never asked to come here. Jesus was different. He knew ahead of time, all these things will be done to me. And he said, I'm willing. He was the creator of all things from the beginning. And he said, I tell you what, if that's the only way that we can be saved here in 2011 and all the years before, I'm willing to come down and I'll suffer it. It wasn't that he came and it was a surprise to him that nobody accepted him. Everything that came his way, he realized this is going to happen. Because there are so many places in the Old Testament says this happened so that it would be fulfilled of what was said. So maybe 1,000 years before Jesus ever came, he and his father sent out the word to a prophet to let him know, here's how it's going to be. And Jesus then was still willing. Revelations 13 and 8 just has a little verse to remind us that it didn't come as a surprise to him. And right at the last of that verse, it says, of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know how all that works. I don't know where it was that God said, okay, because of these sins, we've got to have some atonement. And Jesus said, I'm willing. But it described it this way in Revelations, that he was a lamb that was slain, like as if there was a plan from a long time before. And I'm thinking tonight about a cause and willing to suffer for that cause. You remember when David, his father, just sent him to go to the battle? Take a little bit of cheese and bread to your brothers and see how the battle's going. And when he went and saw what was happening, when he saw the Philistine that was defiling God himself, and saw the soldiers that were his own people that were afraid to do anything about it, you remember when he said, I don't know that he knew that he could kill Goliath. What he was willing to die for the cause. And you remember when his older brother really was a little embarrassed when David said, I tell you what, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'll do my best to be able to go take him out. And his brother said, I know your naughtiness. You came down here to see how the battle's going. And David had a reply to him. Is there not a cause? There's something bigger than me. I'm willing to give myself for it. And I think that's what Jesus said. You know what? Everything up here is great. You know, we find examples in the Bible that tell about how nice Jesus had it there. And he chose to come down and die. There are other children that can happen to. They don't have a choice before they come to say, I don't want to suffer that kind of humiliation and death. But for me to think that Jesus knew it all along, 1,000 years or more maybe before, when this old prophecy was given, he read it, he knew it, he gave it. And he knew, this is how it's going to happen for me. It's going to be more than just a little baby coming out into this world and being appreciated. It'd be one thing if he knew, I tell you what, people are going to appreciate me just like the angels do up here. That would make it a whole lot easier for him. But he knew it wouldn't be that way. But he said, I'm still willing to do it. I'd like to look at a verse in John in the sixth chapter and the 38th verse. It says, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. I want to do whatever he has desired for me to do. There's another song that we sang. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. Walked a lonely hill to Golgotha, and there he lay down his life for me. You remember when the angels, is that in Luke, the second chapter? I think we read it this morning in Sunday school. Where the angels came to him, 10th verse of the second chapter of Luke. Angels said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As I look at these verses, I try to picture what that scene must have been like. How did these angels know this is going to be the most wonderful thing that's come to this world? Because he had been with them all this time before that. And it's almost like we want to loan him to you. It's going to be the greatest thing that could have ever happened to you. And then to see the rejection that was given to him. There was, you know, all the places that it says it was prophesied and these things happened that it might be fulfilled. There's one that I'd like to look at in Matthew 27. Because just as I look at these, and I think, you know, Jesus knew it before it was ever given to these prophets. 27 and 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. There are maybe up to about 18 places in the New Testament where we'll read references about Jesus, and it says that it might be fulfilled. And what gets me is to think today that each of those places, Jesus knew this was going to happen years before he ever came down and was willing to come as a baby. This is, as we think about it this next week, and we come into next Sunday thinking about this baby born in a manger, that we would realize this isn't just a baby born in a manger. This was the Son of God that says, I'll tell you what, I'm willing to give up everything I have up here. There was glory all around him. What it must have been with the angels up there to be honoring him so much. The only place that I can think of, one of the places that I can think of the honor that was given him, is back in Revelations. Because if they gave this much reverence to him for what he did here in Revelations, what it must have been when he was willing to come down and give his life. This was this chapter, and I won't read it all, but it's talking about here's the book of Revelations, and no one is able to tell us what it means. And no man, third verse, no man in heaven nor earth, nor, neither under the earth are able to open the book, neither to look thereon, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Fifth verse says, and one of the elders says unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And then he goes on down, says he, seventh verse, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And on down in the 11th verse, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Just looking at this little piece in the chapter, telling us that as he got a picture of Jesus being able to interpret what this book contained and the glory that was given him because of it, what must it have been when he was in heaven himself before he came down as a baby and he was willing, I'm willing to go down there. The honor that must have been given him. And I was thinking about this, the cause that I'm willing to put as greater than myself. He did it. Jesus gave us an example. And in Philippians it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Willing to put the cause greater than myself. And you remember with John the Baptist, when he came, there was something said about John the Baptist. Jesus himself, I believe, said it in Matthew 3 and 11. Maybe I've got it wrong. Where he was set, 11 and 11. I indeed... Yes, I guess I've missed it. The place where Jesus was announcing John coming, and he says, of men that have been born, that are born of woman, there'll be none that's greater than John the Baptist. But then I was looking on here, you know, John could have taken that and said, you know what, I'm going to take a lot of credit to myself because that has been said. But instead, he didn't see it that way. He says, his shoes, I'm not worthy to bear. I'm not worthy to be able to do it. Another place he says, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, Jesus gave him some credit and John could have run with it. But instead, what John saw was, no, all glory goes back to Christ. And you know, it needs to do that with us today. As I get a picture of the price that Christ paid, before he ever came as a baby in a manger, to know what it was going to cost him, I need to realize, you know what, the cause is greater than myself. Think about in a basketball game, I could say, tell you what, I want to be the one to get the most points in this game, not going to throw it to anybody else, and we may not even win the game. But instead, to be able to say, I tell you what, if someone else is closer there, I don't have to get the credit. Let me allow them to be able to get it. Remember where Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We realize that the cause is something bigger than us, and we don't take credit for any of it because Jesus, when I look at what he did, what he was willing to come down here for, with what he had up there, it makes me humble myself before him. And I want to, as it says back there in Revelations, all the honor goes to him. That's what I want to do. There's another place, an example that I'd like for us to look at in Acts 14 and 8. When we take credit from people, if we do, the trouble it can put us in. In this chapter, it's talking about the man that was lame, and he was crippled. He was healed. In the 11th verse, when he was healed, it says, when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. It says, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Now here's a time where, because of what really God has done through them, being able to heal somebody, here's a time when they're fixing to get some credit given to their name, fixing to do some sacrifices to them. It says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among them, among the people, crying out, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. So instead of taking credit, all credit goes back to God himself. And you know, before that chapter was ended, Paul was stoned. Thought about how careful we need to be about receiving credit to ourselves. I remember Brother Marty has probably said it best. He said, you know, I've gone to some meetings, had some messages where people just poured the praise to me. He said, I put it in a paper bag, so to speak. He said, because I also went to a meeting where they didn't have much good to say about it when it was finished. He said, I put both those in a bag and I shake them up because they're both worth about the same. You just do the very best you can, and if it has value, it goes back to the Lord. If it didn't work out, then you just say, I did the best I could. But I thought about this. If we will realize what Christ, before he was ever a baby, next Sunday, in a manger, what he had and what he was willing to give. Because you remember Paul said, all these things that's happened to me, they have fallen out rather for the gospel. They had a benefit for the gospel. Now some of it didn't make Paul look very well, but he was willing to turn any credit back to the Lord. Paul had him an example that was left before him. Remember when Jesus went into the city, maybe his last time coming into Jerusalem, people admired him so much, they threw the garments down in the path just for the donkey to be able to walk on. But within just a few days, all men forsook him. Even his disciples forsook him. You know, he knew that before he ever came down. When he came down to the garden, where he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew years before, way back there, this is coming. This is what I'm willing to go down there and be a baby for and grow up for. He knew there's going to be a lot of people that won't accept it. But even then, he said, by his actions, I'm willing to do it just if a few will accept it. And to me, that has a whole lot more credit than if he would have thought all along. I thought a whole lot of people were going to take it, but they didn't. He knew that people wouldn't, but he went ahead and did it anyhow. And I want to say to him, I appreciate that. In my life, talk about putting a cause greater than ourselves. In my life, I can't say that I've done as good as Paul or Jesus has done, because there's been times where hurts would come my way, and I'd nurse them. You know, I'm ready to back out of this thing. Where they were willing to give their life for it. If I can just help one. If I can just help just a few. Is there not a cause? So during this Christmas season, let's remember this was not a baby that had no knowledge of what was going to come in the future. A baby that his memory started when he was born. This was the Son of God that was at creation with his Father. And a place that I have that I'd like for us to look at and remember. Because you know what it says? He was a man of like passions as we are. Yet he didn't sin. In John, in the 17th chapter, as I read this one, I start almost seeing the human side of Jesus. This is the chapter where he gives his prayer, 17 and 4. He said, Jesus talking to his Father, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And you know, in his life, he had some bright spots. He had some people that he made good friends with. Think about Lazarus and Mary and Martha. To be able to go into their house and know they meant no evil to him. Just a place that he could come in and rest. He had some of those good times. But he had a lot of things that had come against him. Now he's talking to his Father. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now that scripture is something when we start thinking tonight about the baby born in a manger. He has gone through all this rejection of the people that he was willing to come down to save. And now he's soon going to give his life. And he says, I'm desiring, Father, that you would take me back up there where I had so much glory, way back there before the world was ever even created, that long of a time. But I've been willing to come down and do your will because there was no other way that anybody could be saved. So there's a poem that the children have said in the past. What can I give him at a time like this? It says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give him? I'll give him my heart. For each of us tonight, and as we go through this Christmas season, where some of the world will say, let's don't even mention his name, we would shut the whole thing down if it wasn't such an economical boon to be able to get people to buy gifts. But I want to realize, you know what? This was a decision Christ made with his Father thousands of years. Prophecy came to Isaiah, and Jesus knew about it. It wasn't like the Father said, I can't tell him. I'm going to tell Isaiah, I'm going to put it in the Old Testament, but I don't want Jesus to know because maybe he wouldn't go down there. He knew it, and he was willing. And tonight I want to tell him thanks for that. Desire prayers.